respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their kindred purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Sarana, Rajasami, Vijayampi, Tatiampi, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without itself, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Krishna Paramita Pradaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Warmth is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all of the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the content of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the hangers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. My compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. My compassionate aspiration that harms no one. My compassionate speech that makes for clarity. My compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. My compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. My compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. My compassionate mindfulness that proves its path. by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics. Nor to assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, and in the practice of ever-expanding faith, and in the practice of constant devotion, and in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, and in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born to karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityambi tatyambi sabha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I end suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
I'm just seeing the fruits of sticking with a workshop. You're going to talk about a family workshop again? Yes. Because there's so much to see.
Why would I want to start digging in somewhere else?
Exactly.
Why not keep digging in the same place?
Yeah, we were just talking about that, weren't we? Yeah. That if you want water, you got to keep digging. You can't just, let me try over here.
So there's a way in which there's a gift in it when a workshop keeps going.
Yes.
Yeah, and coupled with the willingness to stay there instead of it's so easy to get bounced off into, oh, come on. Like, either you should be over this by now, or you should have seen through it, or...
Yeah, or I'm just done. I'm sick of this.
Everyone else is sick of it.
Just one fruit that came out this morning. I have a commitment this week to do a two-handed recording around the particular challenging part of this process. Mm. And what came out of this overall process I've been looking about saying what's going on for me. Mm-hmm. And that's a skill.
Yes.
I didn't see that before.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just like, yeah, we'll let the person talk and da 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 da. But I realized, and I'm like, oh yeah, I can do that. But now the more I explore it, I didn't really know how to do that.
Uh-huh.
It was getting truncated a lot. It was becoming intellectualized a lot. It wasn't actually talking about the experience for what's going on.
Uh-huh. So are you talking about in the two-handed,
in the two-handed
or
two-handed
any kind of recording, basically,
yeah, exactly.
But specifically in the two-handed recording, you realize that it's a skill to really allow that guy to talk about whatever's going on with him.
Yes.
And then it seems like, well, yeah, okay, yeah, let him talk, okay, good.
Yeah.
But that kind of without realizing it, there are a bunch of processes that can happen. Truncated or, I can't remember what the other one, I know for me.
Intellectualizing. Well,
yeah.
What's really going on?
Exactly.
I mean, I can see that.
Right. Which is different than the guy who's actually in there having the experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the key part.
Mm.
He can't grow.
Yeah.
He's like cut off from the sunlight.
Yeah.
You know.
He never gets seen.
He's just trapped. And so the more I've been practicing, I'm like, whoa, it really informs the awareness.
It really
informs the mentor.
That's a good point.
Somebody was just saying that on the call, and I wasn't quite getting it, and I just had the experience that really assists the mentor.
Yes.
And so just real briefly, I got to see this, what it was like for him at this worst place in the process, and it's essentially, he's put in a maze, and it's like these really tall, white walls, like a maze.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't know he's in a maze. It's just this tight little thing, and it's clear, there's no food, there's nobody around, there's no roof, there's no security.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he's meant to believe is he just has to run and hurry and be urgent to find the solution, whatever that is, to find the security.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts running, and there's like two, it goes left and it goes right.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it's like, left is you're wrong. And if he goes right, it's they're wrong.
Uh-huh.
Except for he doesn't know that.
Yes.
He just runs, goes left, and he's in this thing about how I'm wrong and da-da-da. And I realized that if it was just I'm wrong and that was it, we would be done. But the self-hate comes in and gives meaning to that.
Uh-huh.
Which means you're wrong means you're unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't survive if you're unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be left out in the cold alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can only stay on that I'm wrong for so long with that self-hate,
yeah,
where it's like, ah, I gotta run, I gotta get back in
order. I must have been the other direction.
Yeah.
I must have taken a wrong turn. That's all.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I run over essentially to the other side of the duality, not knowing that's the problem. He doesn't know that's the problem.
No.
Runs over there, and they're wrong. And then and there's the ongoing talk and argument.
In fact, just quickly, Scott, mm-hmm, that there's almost, it's funny because there's almost, as you describe it, it's perfect. There's almost a full wisdom in that identity. It's like, of course he's going to go to the other side of the duality. He doesn't see the bigger picture. There's
right,
nowhere else to go. It makes
right,
perfect sense that it's so horrible here. He's being told all these things. His only choice is to turn around and go back in the other direction.
Yeah.
So no wonder he does that.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you. And that, and when we can do that, there's that compassion.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what's been, I think, what's going on this morning. And so then he's over there, and then, you know, well, that just turns into, how could you say that about them?
Yeah.
Your family, your, this is your family. You're the kind of, you're just going to, oh, that's what you do? And so there's this, again, if they were wrong, and that would be the end of it, it'd be like, okay, they're wrong. And then I would move on. But because what it means is, you're wrong, you're unacceptable, you're bad, you won't survive like that. You can't stay there. So he's got to run over to the other side. And he's in so much conversation on both sides. And because the content can be different, he doesn't get, like, I was just over there.
That's right.
On the, I'm
wrong. Wait, I've been there.
They're wrong. Oh, wait, he doesn't see that.
Yeah.
Because it's just so, all he knows is he's, and it feels like he's doing something
right,
by, you know, that coping that happens for me around rehearsing conversations and,
yeah,
and let me articulate it this way and articulate it that way and let me, well, but yeah, and then, but if I really understand where they're coming from, you know, it feels like I'm, that's giving me some sort of
yeah,
ground.
Yeah.
But it's like the kind of ground, if you're climbing a hill and you're on a really steep, slippery slope,
yeah,
and you keep scrambling and you're
yeah,
slide, it feels like if I don't do this, okay, this isn't working,
yeah,
but if I stop, I'm going to slide all the way down the hill.
Right.
So I have no choice but to keep scrambling, essentially being in the same spot.
Yeah, have to do it.
I have to do it.
And the maze is such a good image because you can just see him. Like, first of all, he doesn't know it's a maze. But
no,
we can see from the top, he's
yeah,
just racing around, you
yes,
know, making all these moves. But what else? That's the only thing there is to do.
That's the only
and not
thing
seeing
to do,
that there are these two hateful teams that he's moving between.
Yeah.
But it feels like him on both sides. He's not
yeah,
realizing, wait, I was just, that team hates me.
Yeah.
I was just over there. Wait, they hate me too. Wait,
yeah,
this is a, he's not seeing that bigger picture.
No.
But then in that two-handed recording, that's so brilliant what you said, that him truly articulating his experience, the awareness has the ability to then see what's going on with him
yeah,
that he can't see. But he does need to be given the opportunity to articulate the experience, because that's what's going to trigger the awareness. That's what's going to give the awareness that perspective.
He needs to articulate the experience because that triggers the awareness. And that seems true.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, isn't that amazing? From this one, like, experience, you can have that. You don't even know you're in a maze. And then where I think we're probably all looking right now is we can have that view of seeing a person in this little white maze and seeing that it's a maze.
Yep.
And it's all happening in one
yeah,
human experience.
Well, and I think the thing that feels so miraculous about it and very, very exciting, it feels like that movement that we're making in practice right now, and this is such a good description of it, is that it is in articulating the experience of being in the maze that allows us to make the movement to the larger place.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what gets confused is, quote, articulating the experience. It's like, but I mean, then, you know, my family just did this, and I don't know what to, I don't have to, which is fine. I mean, if that's all available to us at a certain point, then that's what we need to be recording.
It is part of the process. Yeah.
Right? Exactly.
It
is part of the process.
Yeah.
And often from there we can drop down into
yeah,
you know, whatever the particular, like, I feel really frustrated. I feel like I'm not loved.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
I feel trapped.
I feel trapped.
No matter which way I go, I can't.
Yes.
That's the difference, is going back to, and what's that like for you?
Exactly.
And what's that like for you?
Exactly.
That's the skill that's being developed.
Yes.
Because, of course, that's the beginning of the end of ego, if that can actually go on.
Exactly.
And that's why I haven't been allowed to do that.
Yep.
And I just had to see through it.
Yep.
So it did require a lot of,
yes,
and just saying, gosh, this doesn't seem to be working. Like,
right,
something's not.
As you're calibrating, it's like, no,
exactly.
not that. But we have to get the not that in order to get the that.
Yeah. Right. So then you get an awareness practice offers this place where it's like, whoa, what am I doing? Where am I? What?
And then in that motion, you just looked up.
For the recorder, I just looked up.
Looked up.
And then it's like, this is a wall, not life.
Yeah.
And it's like, it never occurs, of course, in that place, just to push on the wall.
Uh-huh.
You know?
It
goes right through it, or just goes, timber. You know, whoa, there, look at that opening. That was there the whole time? I didn't even know that was just an imaginary boundary, or one that would just easily topple over if I stopped to ask, what is that?
Yeah.
Boink. Beep. Bam. You know? Well, then it's like, shoot, if that's possible.
Yeah.
You know, and then it just fuels that spirit of inquiry, and that movement from the, you know, it's almost like reptilian brain just surviving to, you know, that expanded awareness and that movement you were just reflecting.
And I think one of the pieces we see in that, there's so much compassion in realizing that the wall is actually, I'm maintaining the wall.
Right.
Through that process of, you know, the running, racing around in the maze.
It's like the generator that creates the illusion.
Yeah.
So in my head is the like the generator, and it's plugged into the illusion that creates all those walls.
Yeah.
And that's why meditation and slowing down is so important, because that slows down the generator, interrupts the generator.
Yeah.
And once that generator's not running, that illusion can't maintain itself.
Yeah.
So the conversation, the generator, I mean, I just imagine like the bigger picture is this maze, and then there's a cord coming out of the maze, like feeding something.
Yeah.
Now here's a guy, like a mouse on a wheel. Yeah. It's the energy source.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get that we're creating energy not for me, but for something else, there's no, you know.
Yeah. And as you say, with sitting, with slowing down, with, you know, all the practice prompts, the things that we do, that energy begins to get cut off, and even just a little bit of energy getting cut off starts to make that, you know, solid wall wobble.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's so many movies that
there's a little glitch in the program.
Wait a minute here.
Yeah.
That's funny. Walls don't usually wobble, you know, or they don't usually have waves in them.
Right.
I can't usually put my finger through it. Let me keep looking here.
Yeah. That's funny. I think the Matrix, there's some sort of image about the cat comes across again. It's just like, wait, that cat can't walk over that same spot twice, can it? But there is just that place of, wait a second, something's not real here.
Not real here.
Yeah. So, and again, to just the last piece is just sticking with the workshop. So then what got revealed in all of this, and sort of a little bit in the content, but the underlying assumption, is about where is my security, quote, my security in the world?
Mm-hmm.
And what got revealed with the family members is I had all these, I was holding on to kind of an illusion or a belief or an assumption that I'll always be okay because my younger brother and I have a really good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what my parents might think about what I'm doing here, you know, and then, you know, they'll get older and they'll likely die before me, and my brother will always be around.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that I was putting my security in that. And also even with my mom, just to see, like, those are conditioned humans.
Yes.
Just like me.
Yes.
And putting your security in ego, essentially.
Yikes.
Yeah. And so it was super destabilizing.
Yes.
For it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize how much I was like, I'll be okay because.
Yeah.
And I just imagine, like, even if I got married and had 12 kids, and thought, okay, if I have kids, it'll take. I bet you if it's always that conditional kind of thing, I'll be okay if somebody else will.
Yeah.
even in the background, there must be some kind of insecurity.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I can't say from my own experience, but I think we could get a hand up from parents who would say, yeah, that's not going to. Right? There's always that idea of, you know, I get married and have 12 kids, and they're going to take care of me, and it's going to look this way, and that's going to, like, maybe not so much.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, because I wonder if that's some of the stability that stableness that I think my mom is going through is
yes.
My son is off doing his own thing.
That's a big blow to the first chakra. Wow, we are not Zen monk kind of people, right? What is he doing?
Yeah,
so great compassion there.
Yeah.
Well, and just one last thing about that I feel like it's really pointing at what I keep hearing Ashwini talk a lot about lately, which is that place of the infinite compassion and kindness and love of life. That when we basically say, what I want is, however you want to say it, union with the divine, or then it's going to begin to reveal for us everything that's standing in the way.
Exactly.
And that's such a perfect example of, we not because we mean to, or but just because who could blame us, we hold on to these things that take the place of that.
Yes.
But as long as we're holding on to them, we can't simultaneously have the real deal if we're clinging to that illusion.
Exactly.
So then, in its amazing kindness, it reveals that illusion for us.
In its kindness, it reveals that. Yeah, and I think it was like, that's what's been this next step is, because of course, you have to be like, ah, and there was that process. Mm-hmm. Whoa! Mm-hmm. You know? And then there's been this, whoa. You know, because you have to, as you're saying, you have to transcend that place. So that's the opportunity.
That's the opportunity.
And it's fun, it's like you're transcending into complete uncertainty.
Yep.
But it's interesting, it's like that paradox. You're transcending to this complete uncertainty of what place. There is nothing to depend on. And it's like somehow the most secure place that you could have.
It's the ultimate safety.
It's the ultimate safety.
Yeah. Because it's unconditional.
Yeah, it's unconditional. And I've watched the movement in my, because I guess that's all that's ever going on anyway, in my relationship with my family.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel pretty different towards them. I feel actually a lot more available
to
them, ironically.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I think when you said the unconditional, maybe I'm in a more of a place to offer unconditional love rather than, well, let me just do this and that so that you'll like me and stay with me and don't get too upset. Let me do this and so you don't get too upset. And I'll see, okay, I'll make sure I get letters and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's not about them anyway.
Exactly.
In this process, I can let go of some of that. Just be authentic. Have lots of room for them and whatever experience. All lots of room for Scott and all his experiences.
Exactly.
And it's just like, it's the wall falling down. There's just so much more possibility.
Yeah.
And again, he's like, we're not for any of this,
right.
As always, but in the infinite kindness of life, that's what was available. And for the grace of God, there's something in here that wants to see that.
Yeah, that's so amazing.
Yeah.
I project it can take us to that place of really feeling religious, like, wow, all of this from, like, having an illness, and then this happened,
there's so many
what else could have revealed that?
Yeah.
In a way, it had to be something that would make it feel real.
Yes.
We can't encounter it
in
sort of
it's going to be right in
our face.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Because it's like, but it's not real. But it has to seem real is like the bridge.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's just too abstract for a conditioned human to go anywhere with.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And then in that place, you're actually available to be in relationship with your family in a way that before, it wasn't about Scott, it wasn't about them, it was all about I.
It was.
And no one else gets anything in that.
Yeah. Oh. Amen to practice on.
Yeah.
Thanks. That's just so interesting. I was thinking about, you know, that you can't fake it.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Yeah.
Whatever that
you was. Can't fake that. Those kind of moments.
You can't.
And what I was seeing in the from the discussion was about getting to the person actually experiencing that. What rose for me was, we don't talk so much about sub-personalities anymore, but it seems like there's this really little authentic being, and then there's somebody else about a year older who has learned to come in right away to take care of that, And so what I was hearing for me was there's the expression of what is, and then there's a narrative about what is.
Yeah.
And the one that comes in right after is the narrator.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I get experience at dwelling no farther, no deeper than the narrator.
Right. Exactly.
And so it really takes something to push into that. If the one is actually having the experience.
Yeah. As God said, it's a skill.
It is a skill.
It's a skill. And it's a skill that often we need to begin with the narrator. Because that's the way we have to begin.
You begin with where you are.
Exactly. And if you stick around, you keep doing it, you keep showing up to practice, you keep hearing other people talk about it,
right.
That, you know, narrative becomes the portal to the experience, which becomes the portal to the authenticity, which becomes the, you know, and just keep going.
Right. What happened this morning was I just got this great visual of what goes on. So the lesson, the assignments of the last couple of days, what would it take, what would make your life perfect was one of those today. And what was interesting was what arose was, it is perfect. Mm-hmm. And as I wrote, it is perfect. And so then there's all this blank space. And I thought, but what am I told?
Yeah.
Well, if I have this and this and this change, and if I fill all the rest of blank space with that, and I thought, there it is.
There's the difference.
There it is.
Yeah.
You know, what is authentic is so clean and succinct, and then and conditioning literally fills the space with all of those.
Well, but this,
and I also saw that it goes in both directions. It says, I was walking down the path, the driveway, and I was right at the top, and you can see forever at the top, you know. And so I literally stopped, and I thought, wow, I mean, what could be more perfect than this? And then it was like, well, what could be more perfect? And so it goes in both directions. It's like,
I couldn't go last year because of the Beatles and the Trout. And the loggers were, and you know what?
But it wasn't quite that. But it was like that. It was sort of like, you have no business ever being dissatisfied because it is perfect.
Uh-huh.
But it would be actually more perfect if it just goes back and forth like that. Just so fascinating to see.
Yeah.
And there's one other thing. I was listening to the Friday radio show about the assignments this morning. I was doing dishes, and what Sherry and the people were saying was that this whole experience is an experience of seeing the identifications.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because really what I was experiencing this morning was what everybody was talking about, which is there's this authentic experience, or what's just being talked about, and then there's this whole other thing.
Yeah.
And what was so clear is that they come literally from different universes.
Yeah.
You know, they just come from different universes.
Yeah.
And you know, you do a little exercise and you think, so what is, you know, what's it, 5 minutes, you know,
right.
Opens up the world.
So
just
much.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, and that piece of, you know, the life is so clear and succinct, and it really speaks to why something like sitting is the foundation of practice. Because it's that place of the skill of expanding the container and allowing that the space is, in a sense, a something that conditioning is going to come in to attempt to fill,
mm-hmm.
but we can practice letting it be nothing,
mm-hmm.
right? Letting the space be there as part of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't do that, then there's always that conversation is always going to come in to fill that space, and we don't really have the skill to do it, to have our attention anywhere else.
Yeah, I was noticing that too. I was sitting I was just recording about what I just talked about, and so I sat down and thought, so all there is to do here is sit.
Yeah.
And conditioning arose and said that there's nothing to do. And so I just watch all the time I'm sitting.
No.
But it's either planning or remembering. Remembering. And then I come back and plan to remember, and then I come back. And you can just watch the whole dynamic. That literally, just sitting is so simple. Conditioning has no way to grasp hold of it.
Yeah.
So it just has to fill the space.
Yeah. And that's so good, because I just saw when you said that there are infinite combinations. You could plan, remember, 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 plan, remember, remember, plan, remember, remember. And what we don't
infinite possibilities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what we don't see is it's just those things.
Yeah.
Right. It seems like in the maze where it is interesting or important, or we have to solve something, or right. But when we get that clarity that you're talking about, it's like, no, it's just that, and that's that, and I'm back here.
Yeah.
Okay, and we'll come over here.
There was a tweet that came through recently, which was the reminder from the sandwich board of one definition of karma is the incessant push to what you mm-hmm. think you deserve. And it brought up again something you just touched on it in the first conversation, that what we think we deserve, and so I was looking at that, what I think I deserve. I think I deserve units of knowledge with a ground of being.
To what?
Units of knowledge with
a
ground
of being.
Yeah, that's what I believe we are all here for.
Uh-huh.
And as that belief has really taken root, that's the karma. That that pushing.
Yeah.
That's what you and Scott were talking about. Mm-hmm. You and were talking, you know, it's like that. Mm-hmm. It's pushing us showing us everything that we need to encounter. Because what I believe I deserve is units of knowledge of the ground of being at this point. You know, and not just me, but I think that's the whole human human point. And so it's just it's such a delightful turning on its head the karma.
I was really hearing that, what you said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you could look at the exact same anything, any given day or month or whatever, life, and look at it through those two different lenses, and both could be seen as, quote, accurate.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because that push toward still goes through all of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't avoid anything. It doesn't, it has all of it still in it. But that's such a lovely way to see it, that we're being pushed toward that, and we have to encounter what we're going to transcend.
Yeah.
So we have to go through all of it.
Yeah, and it does turn it on its head. And another thing that got turned on its head is the whole geese in the line, in drafting thing. Because as I was looking at it, I feel like let me put it this way. When I'm in one of those really, really hard places, and I think I'm at the back of the line and letting, I'm really at the front of the line, because that's what we're doing, is we're encountering the resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm like, oh my God, this is so, it's like, I always sort of assume that means, okay, y'all take the lead, because I'm struggling back here with this thing, and so I need to draft on y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, no, it's when I'm in this kind of wonderful, expansive place that's the draft. These other poor people who are having their day
taking all the wind in their
face. They're the ones having the workshop, and they're at the front. You know?
Uh-huh.
And so it's just a whole other way of looking at that. Like, thank you. And I know I'll be back there. I know we all move around and all of that. But it's just like, it's funny that I had assumed that the calm time was when I was at the front. So there's that.
Because someone was, when we were talking about that, I think they were using a cycling analogy. But that's when, if you're going to be at the front, you're going to take all the wind, and you're going to be working your butt off.
Yeah.
Right?
And
that's when you're really, calling down into what you've really got.
Exactly. That's the evidence of the strength of the practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's the evidence of the strength of the practice, not a challenge to the strength of the practice.
And I think the reason maybe we think we're at the back is that there are all kinds of things we're told about that. Like, well, you're not doing it elegantly. you're not strong enough, and you're not, whatever. It just means this about you. If you were, then you wouldn't feel this tired.
Well, I've never been at the front of a cycling pack, but I bet they don't look so elegant. They're sweating and gritting and they're grinding, and it's like, So it's a good image. That's all.
There wasn't one.
Well, there was a whole, there was a lot of tie-ins. Well, I guess one other thing I'll just add before we move on is how the incessant push is being revealed in how you do anything is how you do everything workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's the relentless, what life seems to be hammering right now is embodied in that Gandhi quote of renounce and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it's translated, our practice right now for me is
process over content. Mm-hmm. Because, and I think I want to reclaim the word renounce. It, because I think, at least when my mind first said it, it means to kind of eschew or do, you know, turn away from. Mm-hmm. But I actually looked it up, and one of the definitions, and the one that I reject is the one Gandhi was talking to, is to surrender one's claim to.
Uh-huh.
So like, if I renounce the throne, I'm surrendering my claim to the throne. Not that I think there's anything wrong with the throne, or that somebody else shouldn't be on the throne, or that it, I even like, you know, monarchy. You know, not even that.
It's just that the one to sit there.
I'm not attached to being that. Uh-huh. I'm not attached to it. So when we look at process over content, mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, it's such a beautiful, splendid mm-hmm. practice of mm-hmm. I'm just not attached to, you know, and yesterday something came up for me and was triggered and I could see, boy, I mean, I could feel the emotion. I love that whole notion that this is skill to be able to talk about it, you know, because I was talking about it and, but at the same time, I wasn't believing it.
Yeah.
I knew this was just a workshop, you know. And that place, that space, I think that was just described, is just such a fruit of the constant practice of that renouncement, renouncing.
Yeah. So in other words, if I'm following, so in a situation like that where something gets triggered, there's the ability, the skill to just let it be there, so not pushing it away, which might be the definition that renouncing gets, mm-hmm. but more a, there's no judgment. The throne isn't bad, it's not wrong. It's just that I'm choosing not to identify with that. I'm not, what's the word you use, attached mm-hmm. to it.
I don't have a stake, I don't have a claim on this.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, it doesn't say anything about me.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday I spent a lot of time cleaning a bathroom, uh-huh. and I was so into it, and but I didn't have a claim on whether there's lint on that porcelain means anything about me, but I wanted it to be. So it's not a disinterest.
Right.
It's not a, doesn't matter, I can still tell if it's working or not working. I can make all these kinds of discernments about it, but it just doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's the critical difference, and that to me is what it enables us to enjoy.
Yes,
because as long as there's that claim, and talking about with kids, you know, boy, that's been such a rich workshop. And when I made that joke a few weeks ago about I've renounced my kids, you know, it really is just this. I don't have a claim on them in their lives. I can't even say you must. Send me something on my birthday. I can't even say that. Or you should. Or you got to have this kind of relationship with me, or that with you, or whatever. And it's in that letting go of any kind of claim or attachment that tons of enjoyment is available.
And it makes so much sense. I mean, we don't think about it that way. We get talked into not seeing it that way. But at least for me, when I look at it, it's like, of course.
Yeah.
That's the only, well, we do have that, you know, if you love something, set it free.
Yeah.
I think that's what that's the point.
Yeah. And what Sherry was saying, that's the whole deal.
Yeah.
That's renounce and enjoy right there. That's the whole deal.
Yeah. And how could it be otherwise?
Yeah.
Right? You can't receive if it's that clutching.
Yeah. And just to fly, you know, circle back to that, and that incessant push to that realization is just the greatest gift.
Yeah.
That we have with this karma, those of us sitting in this room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm just really grateful to be here.
Mm-hmm.
All of this really resonates. I also have been looking at something like just really delving into a particular situation and just like, just keep sticking with the same content, and it's been so amazing and so revealing. And and it's a very similar of like, it's around work and like, you know, something happens, I'm wrong, or I'm the wrong person, or and then they're wrong, or you know, the whole system is wrong, and the job is wrong, and like trying to do
it wrong.
Somebody's got to be wrong. And and the thing that just dropped in listening here is that that goes into this, you know, sort of unconscious and then eat a bunch of food and watch a bunch of Netflix and then okay, I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to figure out whose fault it is, and oh, it must be my fault, so then, like, I'm going to practice more, and I can figure it out, and I can fix it, and I can change it, mm-hmm. if I just be the right person, or do the right thing, or say the right thing, or act the right way, or blah, blah, blah. And
anyone relating?
And I can actually change how other people are. If I practice really hard, then I can actually make them a different person.
Yeah, which is great. Then I'll have a different experience.
And then I'll be solved. And it's like, and the efforting.
Monday morning.
and how that drive really practice and like how I participate, like that's because if I could keep just meditating enough or practicing enough or sign up for enough things, which allows me to see all this, doesn't change the other person. Anyway, so there's that unconscious part of it that just kind of allows it to kind of keep repeating itself in a way, and the missing piece of like. Everyone's suffering, you know, in this system, including me.
Yeah.
And it's easy to see the other person suffering, but like, oh, I'm actually suffering. Yeah. Like, I'm suffering in this also.
Yeah.
And that is, it really is that disidentification place where it's like, oh, this is what's happening to me, and then I can step back into awareness and watch that process.
It's like Scott's image. You can suddenly see from the top of the maze.
Right.
What she's, and no wonder she's doing these things. And no wonder, because that really is the whole thing you described, like, okay, then I'm going to eat, and then I'm going to, okay, no, wait, oh, so I know, it's my fault, and if I can just, and then that's going to,
Yeah. And it just, I really could see so much in it. And on one of the calls, maybe it was Friday, the big, I like the maze, but the big circle, and then there's a circle down here, this big circle can see the circle, but this circle can't see the bigger circle.
So that image I think Sherry used, right?
Of yeah.
That there's this little dualistic circle that we get stuck in, and that's reality, but in fact, that circle is contained in this much larger circle.
Right, and you can't see anything in that, and that movement to... Well, in this workshop that I'm in, the thing was like, wow, this feels hard. Like, this is hard. Oh, well, then there's the compassion, there's the disidentification. Oh, wait, this isn't even real. Like, and then that was what's able to open up to the bigger circle. And then in sitting today, I could see, like, oh, that's seeing through the eyes of ego, and there's this way to see the whole thing from compassionate awareness. And then it just kind of opens up all these different ways of seeing it, I guess, and being with it. And it's just really been great.
Yeah, it is big. It's such a great description, the way you just said that, that it's not that anything changes. It's that when we just take that critical step back, there are all these ways of looking at it and these ways of being with it that are available that were not available in that little circle. Mm. The only thing that's available to us is those same things round and round that circle, right? Around the battery circle. Mm. That we cope and then we, you know, feel a little better and then we get beaten up again and then we make a decision to be perfect and then round and round we go.
Yeah, and the strategies that come out of that, like some of the languages, okay, just going to hunker down, I'm just going to go to work, I'm just not going to talk to anybody. If I talk to anybody, then it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I'm not going to work. I've worked before.
And my job is to take care of people,
not
my coworkers.
So it's like,
oh no, they're coming, but how can I like avoid this interaction? Because I'm going to like probably yell at them, and then it's going to, you know,
there
it's
a
strategy. The strategies that are available in that place are just so ridiculous. And it's like, oh no, I couldn't like report at work because I'm too busy dodging bullets and like landmines. Because I'm like, nobody was stepping over there, and like, you know, it's just so funny and crazy. And it's just, it's so funny. Like, it's so funny. I am really enjoying the reflective listening partner that I have. This, and she just has this really funny way of saying exactly what I'll say. And it's like, for example, she's like, if and also with the workbook, to see really what ego is telling you and what's really happening. And like, to hear ego tell it, I'm running around work, I'm yelling at people all day long, punching people in the face. And it's just so funny to reveal it all, and such a relief that like, oh, wow, there's another way to be with this situation.
Well, and you know, one of the things I just saw with that, Monica, is I'll bet why there's such a campaign to not record at work, because remember at the end of the year of the Joy retreat, someone was talking about, Sherry talking about the nattering, the practice of just being on the recorder, just kind of all day, throughout the day, just talking, you know, just typical me, you know, to the reporter, just going around. And this woman had picked up that practice and was talking about how transformative it is to then listen back and hear this person. And I just heard how it would be interesting, just every little chance you get, you know, 1 minute here, 2 minutes here, to just record, because what you would get to hear is what's actually going on with her, which I project is really different than the commentary at the end of the day, which I'm describing. Is she's yelling at everyone, she's punching people in the face, and she's a complete, she's got a machine gun in her locker, and what you hear is who she actually is, what's actually going on with her, which is someone who's struggling, doing the best she can, you know, all of those things.
Yeah, in a hard environment.
In like,
a stressful, like,
work environment. High pressure,
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, because I've already seen how, like, one, so I'll have, like, one bad interaction with a coworker or some or patient or whatever. Like, that's the only thing that conditioning remembers is that one thing. And it's like, I'm like, actually, I did this,
And the other thing it doesn't remember is how much that hurt my heart.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And how much I didn't set out to do it.
Right. And how... Because like family or anything else, that you see these people every single day, it's like, it's this person and these two people basically, you know, and then they can just, it becomes all about, you know.
And if they left.
Yeah. So conveniently placed right in my work day.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just so great to see. Thank you.
Good boy.
One thing about that is that I was in the talk about if I'll just change myself.
Surely
I can change other people, and I so relate to that. And
worked so many times.
And what I saw about that though is it's like one of the, it made me question if we ever can go at anything head on, because. If I'm in this place, if I'm changing myself so I can change the someone else, or that it just does not work. But if I'm like focused on just this human form and ending suffering, bringing freedom here. It's amazing how people change.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like a conundrum.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, you know, as long as I'm trying to get something from, for me.
It's kind of the renouncing.
It's kind of the renouncing. Yeah.
In that sense, though, so if we heard rumor, oh, I said I renounce my kids, then I'll really be able to work. So I'm going to renounce my kids. It's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
You know, then we're at the cutting thing.
Yeah.
You have to mean it.
Yeah.
It's going to be, if the thing is the actual place we go to that transforms it.
Yeah.
But we can't pretend to go to that place in order to transform it because that's not the point.
Yeah. Gosh. It's just like so many things. You just can't get there.
Yeah.
You know, but... You just can't get there going straight on.
It's like such faith, isn't it?
It is.
That it seems like, okay, I can see it, go straight for it.
Yeah.
But that's an illusion. It's really over here.
Yeah.
And we have to go straight so many times before we realize, no.
No.
Actually, it's this direction.
It's like, yeah.
But this direction is labeled cliff.
Right. It might be that direction one time and then this direction, you know, and it's like, gosh darn, you keep changing the rules on me. Can't we just have
to be present?
You have to be present. Can't we just have a sheet to go by? So, anyway. And the other thing I've been, one of those things like pushed to the brink of like, behaviors that like, just like, seeing certain behaviors over and over again that just are not pleasant. I don't want to be doing, I don't want to be like this, but it keeps like, coming up and coming up and coming up. And, we talked a lot about people at, finding who's at the bottom of the well. Mm-hmm. And that's good for other people, I'm sure I don't have anybody at the bottom of the well.
Don't look there.
It's like filing things,
That's like one of those labels, right? It's labeled empty.
Right. I don't want to have to deal with that.
So to deal with the way of having her own life.
Right.
Do.
So I did discover somebody at the bottom of the well the other day. Mm. And the minute I saw her, it was like, oh my God. I just, it's clear. She's been, first of all, it's amazing how long something can stay at the bottom of the well. Mm. And it won't, it just stays there. And stays there and stays there until it's, looked at.
There's kind of a wisdom in that, isn't there?
Yeah. It's like, whoa, that just blows me away. That, yeah. And so I saw this person that just got cast down to the bottom of the well because she did not fit into a linear. Mm-hmm. What is it? Is it right or left brain? She's not getting the tell. But she didn't fit. She didn't know how to do what they did at school. Spelling or, anything that required that kind of linear, mm-hmm. And she wasn't born male, mm-hmm. which was,
Another problem.
And she was just a little bit loopy,
She needs to go to the well.
She knows to go to the bottom of the well, she wants to sit under the flower bush. She doesn't want to, So she just got, and she hasn't been okay for she got sent to the bottom of the well. We're not going down there anymore, but, we're not going there anymore. We're going to fit in.
Mm. Right. So we have to leave her at the bottom of the well.
Yeah.
That's a small price to pay for the rest of us to survive this.
Mm-hmm. She has to go. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's worth the, sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. and we're not going down there, Mm-hmm. And then just to see, of course, she goes to the bottom of the well, but she, she's not dead,
right?
And she bubbles up and all kinds of like what you expect something to come out of the bottom of a well. All kinds of ugly smelly ways, especially when she encounters any system that looks like what threw her at the bottom of the well, like, oh God, a chart. We're going to just do everything we can do to screw that up. Mm. And so what I've also seen too, it's like a lot of that, it's just a lot of it, the creativity, mm-hmm. And everything that was there got stunted there.
Yeah.
It just got stunted there. Mm-hmm. And I can still see, when it wants to, when anything wants to be done creatively. It goes, it seems to come from that time of when she got, got tossed down there.
Uh-huh.
You know.
So is it like the creativity was stunted at the same time that all got, so that was very likely the genesis of the creativity, and it got put at the bottom of the well along with it.
Yeah.
So anytime there's a movement towards that creativity, it kind of brings with it all of that process that came up at that time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's just a, like a cap on it. It can't. It hasn't been able to. It hasn't matured at all, and so it's full. And you know, it's tried to find ways to do that are like socially acceptable.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But no. So it's just been a. I don't know what to say about it. But what I'm seeing so far about it is that, first of all, it's just been seen.
Just been seen.
You know, and that, you know, conditioned mind wants to come in, now we've got to do something.
Right, okay, what's our plan?
Now what's our plan? What we got to do? Well, you know, we got to, you know. And then it will go to, well, gosh, all this wasted time, you know, with this, you know. But, and just to see. Just to see it. And actually had a had a really experience of deep compassion, you know, to like, oh my God, to just see what had been kept there. And it's also now when I find that reaction arising in certain situations, that recognizing. I see what this is here.
And when you say that reaction,
well, just see that, like that. Let's see, that kind of pushing against, or
the charge thing.
I got like, oh, that's hurt, you know. There needs to be a little bit of acceptance.
That's kind of what I was wondering. I wasn't sure if that's part of what you're pointing at. What I was hearing in it, much like people have pointed out this morning, is that, I can't remember how you described it, but those places that keep, those behaviors that keep coming up that are whatever, probably that less than skillful or that sort of thing, that at least in my experience, there's a way in which what we can get to is that's the incessant push towards the transformation.
Yeah.
In that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Because if we're able to pull it off in the way Monica was pointing at, if you can stay in that decision and be perfect, we miss the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't keep getting pushed at, poked at, pushed again.
Yeah.
If it actually did work, and decide, all right, I'm just going to be this way, I'm not going to change them, and then I won't have to feel those ways, then the whole edge would get taken off, and there's nothing that would push us.
Yeah.
But if we keep doing those things that we're not supposed to do for them again, right? And we keep getting pushed up against it, and we don't leave, in this case, we practice.
Yeah.
It's going to push us. We're going to be forced to the bottom of the well.
Yeah.
And we're going to find that person.
Yes, it's such the beauty of practice in a particularly monastic life. I mean, you know, there's just like, it's just, oh, just watch it. Just watch it. Just watch it. Don't get out there. Not go take a medication or, you know,
turn on the TV
or get fixed or, you know, read a self-help book. But, you know, just keep watching. So it, it's just, you know, so it just has to keep being encountered.
Yes.
And what a concept.
Yes.
You know?
What a concept.
To just, to really understand what it means to, like, turn and face it.
Exactly.
Rather than run from it, which I have a lot of practicing.
I mean, that's the whole deal. That's when you get talked into practicing.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
And then we make that 180 that Rebecca was describing, and realize, whoa, this is not, you know, the way it gets framed is, you're doing this still? You only think, this is the incessant push, this is the thing that won't stop until I'm liberated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, and oh gosh, as I heard so frequently, as you just, you know, facilitating this, it's like, it's becoming more clear. It's like that whole thing about, and just my preamble there, I just forgot what I was going to say. But it was really good. The guy says, I'm fine, but but, you know, anyway.
Something about the 180.
Right, I know. We can't encounter what, I mean, we can't fit into what we haven't, I don't know. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. But, I just want to end by saying, too, I just love that talk about, you know, the parents and the destabilization when their child isn't, like, providing them with the security that they had envisioned.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's equally destabilizing for children to have a parent become a Zen monk who and I mean, just to see how that just, I mean, the whole, all systems, friends, family, everything, you know, isn't it? I mean, we all have all those unspoken agreements.
Right. Exactly. And I mean, that's such a, it's the ultimate opportunity to get to the unconditional, right? Because we don't realize how conditional all that stuff is.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're all, it's just like ego, right? We're all good friends here until you do something that our tribe doesn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And the gloves come off.
And to get to the unconditional, I mean, we'd all say, oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, there probably
is not a person on the street who couldn't say, would say, oh, that's really a good idea. But to know the waters you have to traverse to get to the unconditional, like, that's for somebody else, or, you know, anyway.
And to me, it's that place that, you know, first mountains are mountains and rivers are rivers and then they're not, you know, so it's like we all completely love each other. And then you get to this place of, wow, we really don't love each other at all.
No.
This is terrible. In fact, I need to get away from these people and then to come through that into, like, completely unconditional love.
And yeah, to really find that place of love that you just, was what you always just wanted to be in with them. So anyway.
I was thinking of that. So when I was sitting here, I was watching how distracted I was. And for whatever reason, subpersonalities started to pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just sit one of them there and then say, okay, we're just going to focus on the breath. And then this person would start doing it, saying, just going to focus on the breath. And then I got some part, you know, got really, like, I was off. I hardly know where. Maybe in the plane. It was like a really totally. What's that sound?
Oh, that's the sound.
Am I here? Am I not? You know, anyway. But it was the, I just continued to notice that, I don't know if this is true, but what seemed to happen to the subpersonalities is that when I was present, they like fell asleep almost. Like they were so resting and relieved that they didn't have to do that thing that if I'm here, they don't have to do. But if I'm not here, they have to
do it.
It's not safe. Yep. It's not, and so just watch that with each breath, what seemed to be revealed was, you know, what's always revealed to me, which is they're not doing it anyway. Mm-hmm. They believe they're sitting, but really it was just sitting that was sitting, or, you know, God or whatever. You know, I could feel myself get really light and big enough to sort of care for the system, you know, parts that are trying, that are triggered, you know, in whatever our workshop is, you know, all those folks come in, you know, and then I project them onto, you know, family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this part of this is this part of this is this part of it, and it's just so helpful Because to me, you know, with that family thing, you know, when I'm present, then everybody can be who they are.
Yeah, that's a good metaphor, yeah.
You know, because I'm in that mode. So there's part of me that wants them to be that way. You know, religious, of service, appropriate, free, you know, that kind of thing. Not ordering expensive shoes. You know, not interested in expensive shoes. How freeing it is when I can just say, "Oh, tell me more about those shoes. Show them to me. And the possibility when I'm okay, because as soon as I start beating myself up for the kind of
being
beaten up and believing it, well, there you went, you know, making the. So, but this is what happens. This is the insanity. The other day, my oldest came home, and she's sort of articulating why she's choosing the school she's choosing, and she's wearing this kind of cool ring. And I mean, she's like a little bit similar to me. And so then, so it starts in like, look what you've done. You have conditioned a person. There could just be this really neat connection and excitement and more
conversation
and kind of cool.
Whatever it was, 18 years ago, she didn't exist.
Totally. It's my fault he likes $350. And it's not right that she's religious.
Yeah.
And then Sophie, the story.
I mean, she should be religious, but not religious like that. Not religious.
Right. And what I saw was the freedom, because then it added one in about my youngest, who screams at me about everything. And at the top of her voice. But what came to me as everybody was sharing with me.
You should have
had kids. Oh, man. Because they're all new, right? That possibility, just like work figures, you know, whatever. But in any case, it's just a projection.
Yeah.
And so, it's a mirror, because they're all me. I mean, they're all, and so the opportunity, I was thinking of that tribe in Africa, where, you know, you sit the people, the ones that ego labels unacceptable, that breaks the rules and robs the people, the ones that the habit would be to put at the bottom of the well, don't get put at the bottom of the well. They get put in the middle, and you go around and tell them all the things you like about them.
And
I was thinking, I was thinking, because, you know, I just get kind of emotional because, you know, it's such freedom internally to do that. Because then my relationship with these projections, it's hard to say. So I go around believing what I believe about who these people are. And that influences my ability to be present.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. And so I have this kind of cool thing. So my youngest really, she's going to be the dad of me. I mean, I asked her to put her shoes on, and she's, you know, here's what I did on the way. Drop them off. Okay, Sophie, you need to clean your room. And then Clara says to Sophia, I just really don't like, you know, she believes this can make a difference. I really don't like it when you do that, yell at mom that way. And then what I try to do is just run, right? Run to the volunteer. But, I'm out of here. So that's what I, but I was thinking, if there's a way for me, the truth is, she's super athletic, and she's got all this energy that carries her, that stuff carries her forth. And so if I continue to tell her how bad she is for yelling at me that way, I never get to stay. If I can say what happened to me is I was sitting here and saying it to that projected part, all the things I loved about her, because she's the one kid that when told about her dad and his sickness, burst into tears. Mm-hmm. And the other ones, you know, were old enough mm-hmm. to do the filing, do whatever they do with it, which is fine too.
Yeah, sure.
But it would never have been believed in my story, in the story, family story, that she would have been the one hit hardest.
Right.
Because she's so fine all the time, screaming all the time, in your face, and fucking. You know.
So what I'm really hearing with that is that getting it, that each of them is a projection, I mean, for all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone in my life is a projection of me and what's going on with me. And information about what's going on with me, but even more than that, the opportunity to go to compassion with it.
Yeah.
And how freeing that is for you when you're able to do that.
Pretty. In the internal process.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.